Where will this congregation be in 10 years? I know something weighs heavily perhaps on the elders' minds here and those who work and labor here among you. Where will you be in 10 years? You know, that has a lot to do with the homes that make up this congregation. We often talk about, well, the leadership, the preaching, all of the wonderful works and all those things, but really, all of those things are supported by the home or they won't get supported. Where will your child be in 10 years? Scary thought, isn't it? Or better yet, where will they spend eternity? You know, a lot of that will depend on the strength and vitality of this congregation. And all of that has a lot to do with the strength and vitality of our homes. A congregation can be no stronger than its homes. There is to be a very beautiful and vital relationship between the home and the church. I mean, they ought to be cooperating together, not competing against each other. There ought to be a wonderful working relationship together. No conflict between the home and the church. Such a vital relationship has got to be there. For example, ask a Jew what their child will grow up to be, and that person will say, my child will be a Jew all of their lives. And the statistics are 99 out of 100 times that is the case. You can ask a Roman Catholic, what will your child be? And they will say, my child will be a Roman Catholic all of their lives. And 9 out of 10 times, that'll be the case. Why is that so? We even agree with that. We accept those statistics. Why is that? Because we recognize the relationship between the Jews and their religion. It's such a strong relationship. And the same thing is true with Roman Catholics and their church. It is such a strong relationship. Why isn't that the case? And why shouldn't it be the case that it's like that in the Church of Christ? There ought to be such a strong, vital relationship between the church and our homes that every child that's born into our family, that's raised in the New Testament church, ought to be a Christian, a member of the Church of Christ, all of their lives. And to that end, we ought to spend our time, our talents, our energies, our monies, we ought to give our very selves to make sure that happens. And friends, for that to take place, no price could be too great to pay. How important is the home to the church? We recognize that children spend more time in their homes than they do in anything else. Now, some of you may question that. Think, my child's never at home. Well, they're home probably a lot more, and you don't even know they're home. You know that our children between birth and age 21, they should spend about 105,000 waking hours. I know what you're saying. Not my child. I mean, I just ask them, where are you going? Huh? Where's your sister? Huh? They're really awake there. They just acting like that. They're 105,000 waking hours between birth and 21. 2,100 hours are spent in Bible class and worship. 105,000 compared to 2,100 is nothing. And that's hardly any time at all. And that's how much time they spend in Bible class and worship. They're spending about 10,000 hours in secular school. Over 92,000 hours are spent, supposedly, in the home. Now, yes, the church has a tremendous responsibility to your kid, to our young people. The society does, our school does, but friends, none of them can usurp or supplant the teaching and the training that our children must be getting at home. That's where they spend the majority of time, and that's where our training ought to be, in our homes. And may we add right here that the home should seek to exert the greatest influence upon their children before they're even born. I mean, plans ought to be going. What kind of child will this be? This child is going to be a Christian. We'll raise this child. We'll take care of things in our homes that will be an obstacle to that. Before that child even comes, we're going to get rid of those things. We're going to make this a godly home for that child. And we start that before they're even born. Some scholars had said that every father and mother need to realize that by the time their child is 3 years old, they have done more than half of what they will do to form that child's character. Character. 3 years old. So I look and see these little ones run around. And since I'm doing this lesson, I thought, well, that was about 3 years old. That one may be about 3 years. Just think. You've already done half of what you're going to do to help form that child's character. Turn around and look at that child right now. 4 years old, 5 years old, you're almost done. Forming that child's kids. Does that not weaken your knees to even think that? And then we better wake up ourselves. We do not need parental slackers who leave the responsibility for their children to the home, or to the church rather, or to the society, or to the schools. We better make sure that we take care of our children in our homes. Because I know sometimes children go wrong and the first thing parents do, well, church didn't do enough. Church didn't provide enough recreation entertainment for my child. Society didn't take care of my child. The schools let my child down. Oh yeah, well what did you do? You're the one that spent most of the time with them, or should have. We'd better wake up. We talk about how many hours our children are awake. Parents, we better be awake more than that and on our toes. Friends, the points we're now observing is so vitally important because we're talking about the future of the Lord's church. We're talking about your home, my home. We're talking about the future of the Lord's church. And if we have parents who are neglectful in their responsibility, we're going to raise children who neglect the church. And we know that's true. A farmer was once walking over his farms with a friend of his, exhibiting all of his crops and herds and his flocks of sheep. And as they were looking around, the man was really impressed with his sheep. Said, "You have such splendid sheep. How do you do that? How do you get such splendid sheep?" And the man said, "I take care of my lambs." Well, friends, the lambs in our homes today are the church. Are the sheep in the church tomorrow. We better take care of our lambs. Since that is the case, we need to do a better job in teaching our children the importance of the church. My lesson is talking about how the home is to help support the church. This is my answer. My answer is by helping our children to understand the importance of the church. That's the greatest thing we can do to support the church, is teach our children how important the church is. And I want to talk about a number of ways that we're going to do that. If you're looking in the book, you can forget it. This is a completely different lesson. As we talk about some ways that we can in our homes as parents, what we can do with our children to help support the church. Number one, we need to teach them what the Bible says about the importance of the church. We need to teach them how important the church is. Show them that it's been in God's eternal purpose. Ephesians chapter 3 verses 8 through 10. Show them that Jesus loved the church so much He purchased it with His own blood. Acts 20:28. How important is the church? How important is the blood of Jesus Christ? We need to show them that Jesus loved it so much He gave Himself for it. Ephesians 5 and verse 25. Our children associate, I know up in our area, there are influxes of people from all over the world. You know, used to not be like that. And now we have people from all over the world in our neighborhoods. It's amazing. We have some wonderful, had some wonderful Vietnamese, I hope we didn't run them off. We had some wonderful Vietnamese people behind us, and our fence blew down, and we locked our dog up. And we were teasing them, saying, you know, we know how much y'all like dog, and you know, well, I don't like dog. It's cats, so we never had cats. But wonderful influx of people from all over the world, and our children are associating with all of these people. And they're learning about all kinds of different religions in the world today. Let me tell you something. Your child, my child, needs to be impressed with the uniqueness of the oneness of the church. That there's only one church. I remember as a young boy, my dad and I spent a lot of time going, traveling around to gospel meetings, different areas. Mother and daddy went a lot, and then I went a lot as well as a young boy. And I remember the first time that I can recall, really remember. Now, I may have heard it and just didn't catch, but I can remember a particular lesson Daddy and I heard at a congregation where this man said, listen, the church of Christ is the church you read about in the New Testament. I'm sure I heard it before, but it just didn't click. And I remember when it clicked. I was a young teenager then. Friends, our children need to hear that today. With a lot of the modern day preaching today, they're not going to hear that. But they need to hear that the church is one. The church is the body, Ephesians 1, 22, 23. Ephesians 4 and verse 4, there's only one body. There's only one church. And it's the church of Christ. And our children need to know that. And then need to know how to prove that from the Bible and then how to teach others. Secondly, set a proper example before them. How do parents expect their children to be faithful to the Lord if they're not faithful to the Lord? You ever wonder, how does that work? My child's not faithful. Well, are you? Well, I'm not always. I'm, you know. How do you expect your child to be faithful if you're not faithful? Do you really expect your child to be evangelistic if your child has never seen you teach someone else the gospel? Where will they get it? Do you really think your child will attend every service of the church if you don't? Why do you think they would do that if you don't? You really expect your child to be a student of the Word of God when they've never seen you study? They've never seen you open the Bible and study it. What makes you think they're going to be a student of the Word of God? The truth is, we're going to influence our children one way or the other. We do. 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil companions corrupt good morals. I pray that's not in our homes. We always think of that verse, but out there in the world, I'm afraid some of it's in our own homes. We're corrupting the good morals of our own children sometimes by not setting a proper example before them. Don't expect them to if you're not going to do it. Thirdly, do you give thanks for your daily food? Why, of course I do. I'm not a heathen. You ever pray for the sick? Well, sure, I care for people. You ever pray for God's protection and guidance? Why, sure, I trust in God. When's the last time do you think that your children have ever heard you pray for the church? When's the last time you prayed for the church? When's the last time they heard you pray for the leaders, the elders of the congregation? When's the last time they heard you pray for them? When's the last time they heard you pray for an erring member of the church? They might have heard a lot of other things, but did they hear you pray for the erring members of the church? When's the last time they heard you pray for the church's growth? That the church will grow and be strong and vital in the Word of God. When did they hear you pray that? I'll ask the members of the Southwest congregation that have children, did your children ever hear you pray for this lectureship? Did they ever hear the words come out of your mouth? Showing them the importance of the church? Friends, if the church is important to you, you're going to pray for the church. How strong? How much do you think your children will love the church? They never hear you pray for the church. And do you think they will? Pray. Number three, pray for the church. Let your children hear you pray to show the importance of the church in your life. Pray for her. In the fourth place, what is Sunday morning like around your house? If you have children, is there a lot of yelling going on? Some tempers? Mad dashes to get ready, and you're nearly always late for church. I know what it's like. We need to do a better job helping our children to get into a proper frame of mind for what's about to take place in our worship and our Bible study. You know, we can read of the Jews. The Jews had a day of preparation before their day. They had a day of preparation. They prepared the whole day before for what was going to happen that day. They prepared. If you're 50, I'm 54. If you're 50 and above, you probably remember that. I remember in our home growing up, things were laid out. Mama would start the ironing until I wouldn't wear what she ironed. So she'd, well, iron your own clothes. So I now iron. I'm a great ironer. I do most of the ironing around the house. It's because my mama said, hey, you're not going to wear what I iron. You just iron it yourself. So I did. What about preparing Saturday for the Lord's Day? You ever think about that? So that they can be in a proper frame of mind? And there's not a lot of yelling. You know how it is? There's yelling in the car. And I mean, it's like a miracle when you pull into the parking lot, you step out of the car, all of a sudden everybody got a smile, everybody's walking up there like nothing's happened. And you just said, leave me alone, get off my, you're touching me. Nothing but explosive tempers. What about getting ready Saturday? What about getting the clothes ready on Saturday night for everybody to wear? Would that be a good thing? Having all the ironing done? You're getting all the shoes polished? See, that's old school. That's how I grew up. I'll tell you a funny story. I had to polish my shoes. Well, one night I didn't polish my shoes, and I wear boots now, so it's harder back then. I polished my shoes. Well, you know, back in my day, we wore white socks. I did anyway. Most of us wore white socks, so I wore white socks. Well, I was going to polish my shoes. I was kind of lazy. I polished my shoes with them on my feet. Well, I didn't want to get any smudges on my white socks, so I put on an old grutty pair, you know, put on that over my socks, then put my shoes on and polished away. And I, you know, I didn't want my dad to know I didn't polish them the night before, so I was doing it real quick. And then when I got through, you know, off we went to church, and I happened to be leading singing. It was a Sunday night. And after I got down, I sat down and I crossed my legs and looked, and there were those old grutty. Oh man, they were terrible looking. Plus the black smudge marks all over it, you know. And so dutifully, you know, I'd untie my shoe and pull it off and pull that sock off and put it in my pocket. And then I had to do the other one, you know. All because I didn't get ready the night before. What if you had all the Bible class lessons and all the Bibles and all the purses and all the shoes and all those things laid out, ready to go? What would that be like for your house on Sunday morning? You might say, oh, wow, that would be. As we try to impress our children with the importance of the church and the importance of worship, how are we doing that when it's just a mad rush and tempers and yelling and all those things going on? There's no way anybody can be in a frame of mind. Why not making sure that everybody gets plenty of sleep on Saturday night? You'd think you'd said something anathema there. You know, why is it that on Sunday morning when the preacher's preaching, I tell you what you do. You raise your foot 6 inches off the ground and leave it there. You can't go to sleep if your foot's 6 inches off, both feet. 6 inches off the ground there. Just do it. Go ahead. Some of you are tired right now. I can tell by looking in your faces. Just do it. You can't go to sleep with your feet 6 inches off. At least you'll wake up when you put your feet down. What if everybody had plenty of sleep? And I'm talking about parents. What if your parents had plenty of sleep on Saturday? Would it put you in a better frame of mind? Would it not give everybody the idea that, listen, this what we're about to do is important. Anything you prepare for, here's something you're preparing for. Let's say you're preparing for a vacation. Your children know what? Hey, that's going to be a special thing because of all the preparation that's going in it, right? It's a special thing. What if you prepared Saturday for the Lord's Day on Sunday? Your children grow up learning, hey, this is important. This day is an important day. We're going to worship God. Would that support the church at all? Absolutely. It show people, the young people, the importance of it. Number five, study your children's Bible lessons with them. How do your children study for Sunday morning Bible class? I'll tell you, they get it in the car on the way to church. Right? Well, I hope not. What are they going to get in the car on the way to church? Study the Bible lessons with them. I mean, actually find out what it is that they're studying. You know, things have changed a lot. When I was young, you got a book and you took it home. And if you didn't bring it back, you were in serious trouble. And nowadays, we can barely let them take a book home because we'll never see that thing again. Right? You see, you hear me? It ought not be that way. Parents taking as much more interest in their Bible class lessons than their schoolwork. They'll know what they're studying. They'll be able to sit down with them through the week and study along with them. And then through the week, throw in some application. Hey, remember what we studied about that? And here's something that came up. See how that works in there? See that? You think they're going to remember that Bible class lesson when they get in for a Bible class the next day? Sure they will. How prepared is your child for their Bible class lessons? Well, a lot of it depends upon parents. Above all, we need to remember Ephesians 6 and verse 4, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That wasn't given to the Bible class teacher. That was given to parents. And specifically, fathers. Oh yeah, if they're getting it, let mama give it to them. Oh dad, you give it to them. You can find time. Find time to help your backswing, can't you? Find time to help your children learn their Bible class lessons. Would that go a long way in showing how important this is? And how supporting the church that would be? Number six, help your children understand what giving is all about. Help them to understand the importance of giving. Let them know that it's something that is to be planned and purposed, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. It's plan and purpose. Don't let them see you ripping that check out the last minute before the collection plate gets there. If they do, they're going to grow up doing the same thing. Just last minute, whatever I got, whatever's left, just what I'll give. Plan it, purpose it. That's what God said we do when we give. Let your children see that so they see the importance of giving and what it does for the church. Let them know that God loves a cheerful giver, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7, that he blesses the bountiful giver, verse 6. Teach them that. And if your child gets an allowance or has money of some kind, try to help them sit down and discuss, you know, what belongs to the Lord. And give to the Lord first, not what's left over. Give to the Lord first. And then if your child is impressed with wanting to give more, don't say, oh, no, don't give more, that's too much. No, let them do that. And then teach them from time to time. You know, there's other sacrificial giving. Certain things come up from time to time. You know, terrible disasters happen and we want to be there to help. So we're going to sacrifice even more now. And let them see that. Let them do that. Let them participate in that. And oh, as they grow up, they'll see the importance. They'll see how you support the Lord's work in His church through our giving. Number seven, do not allow criticism of other members. Don't allow it. Listen, Bible class teachers, song leaders, preachers, elders, deacons, you know, anybody who does anything in the church, we're going to mess up. You know, there are times when we're not going to do something you think is best. Now, what's the best thing to do about that? Go talk to the person involved. I mean, if it's that serious of a thing, go talk to the person involved. Or is it better to bring it up in front of your kids and let them hear you criticize and complain about it the whole time? Well, that's a lovely thing, isn't it? You know what they're going to do as they grow up? They're going to do the same thing. We got to be careful about that. Don't allow criticism of brothers and sisters in Christ. We're all going to make mistakes. If it's serious, go talk to them. But don't bring it up in front of your children. I'll tell you this. I can tell when people do that to their own children, because I have a wonderful rapport with children in the congregation, but I can see times when things change with them and I know exactly what's happened. Their parents have probably griped or complained about something, and so children, you can tell. Let me tell you something. There may come a time when you're going to wish your child would listen to something I said, but if all you've done is criticize and complain about me, they're not going to listen. And there may be that time when you wish they would, but it's not possible. Not if you've done that. Be very careful. Do not allow criticism of other brothers and sisters in Christ in front of the children. I mean, do what the Bible says. Go talk to the person if it's that serious and take care of it. Number eight, let's make sure that we put the church in its place of priority. Put the church in its place of priority. Do your children come to you and ask to attend some school function instead of attending services of the church? Or do they know better? The man sitting right there in the middle, Bub Wyatt, he raised me and I knew better. There's no way, no way that I would ever even start to think that I could miss church service for anything. He probably won't remember this. I remember one time playing Pop Warner football, and the coach lived down the street. He said, "Yeah, it's Wednesday night, but I'll have you back in plenty of time. Church is 7:30. I'll have you back by 7 o'clock. Okay, well, okay, Dad said you can go play as long as he has you back by, you know, so, you know, 7 o'clock. I'm getting really nervous. The coach is talking to some parents, and I'm saying, "Coach, I'm supposed to, okay, I'll get you there, you know, and I come in and I'm late. And my sisters are warning me, you know, "Oh man, you're in trouble. I had two older sisters. And they were warning me about that, so I thought, well, I'll take care of this. I went and got a hairbrush and I said, "Here, Dad, I know I'm late, so if you want to spank me." And he did! He took that hairbrush and wore me out! I thought, boy, that's not smart. I was learning. I was getting the idea there. But then I remember we got to church and we sat down a little bit later. Dad turned to me and says, "We made it, didn't we?" Can you imagine your child feeling good about coming to you and say, "Listen, I've got ball practice. I've got a concert. I've got a school play. I've got homework I got to do." And there being even the thought in their mind, "So I might get out of church." No! Put the church in its place and then don't let anything, I don't care if it is the Super Bowl. What's going to happen if you give them an out when they're young? What's going to happen when they get older? Man, they'll find that out and live on it. Put the church in its proper place. If you're supporting the church, how would your child answer? Which comes first, a ball game or the kingdom of God? You know, my dad raised me that way, and I'm so thankful for that. I raised my children that way. My children took care of that themselves. I didn't have to go talk to the coach. They talked to the coach. The thing was, is they were both such good athletes, the coach would say, "Well, okay." I remember the coach coming and saying, "Listen, it's a championship ball game. If your son could, I know it's Wednesday night, you gotta be, but if your son could just be there for an inning, just one inning, it might be the difference. So please, please bring him." So I said, "Okay. But you know, whether the inning's out or not, you know what time we gotta leave." "Okay, okay." So we go to that game. Joshua ended up playing about an inning and a half. And then, during the middle of an inning, he's about to bat. I said, "Joshua," and he says, "Oh man, okay, let's go." So we're walking out of the dugout. He says, "Bye, coach," and we're walking out of the dugout, and we walk right in front of the first base umpire, and he's like, and he looks at the coach, and the coach says, "They're going to church. It's Wednesday night. They're going to church." I was never so proud of my son. No, I've always been proud of my son, but I was really proud then too. Ball game meant nothing. Church meant everything. Son's a gospel preacher today. He knew the importance of the church, and I'm thankful it came from my father to me. I would not consider, "Dad, can I miss church for a ball game?" It would not have dawned on me. Plus, I'd have gotten a hairbrush again, and I didn't want that. Television, homework, school play, concert, doesn't matter what it is. You put the church in its proper place. Children that grow up knowing certain time, church. That's the way it is. There's no question about it. They're not going to have any problem when they're growing up. And then even as they get older, they'll remember the proper place of the church. Lastly, we have the responsibility of persuading our children to become active members in the Lord's church. Bringing up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord includes more than just teaching facts to them. Parents, we've got to help them to grow to understand what sin is and that sin condemns. And when their life comes to where they have sin in their lives, that they need to take care of that through the blood of Jesus Christ. Who's going to teach them that? It ought not be the preacher. It ought not be the Bible class. It ought to be mom and dad who brought them into the world and want any more than anything else for them to get into the family of God and go to heaven. Joshua started saying, "I want to be baptized when he's 5 years old." He would help me in the baptistry. I always took my, Joshua, no matter how old he was, he helped me put on the waders for every baptism. 5 years old, he was convinced he needed to be baptized. But whenever I'd ask him, he didn't understand it. He just wanted to do it because that's what others were doing. And I remember Susie and I'd cry about this. What if he is ready and we didn't know it? And I remember Johnny Ramsey said, "Oh, you'll know when he's ready." And I found out when he was ready because he stayed up all night crying about it. He's worried that something would happen to him and his sins would not be forgiven. He wanted the blood of Jesus Christ. And I knew right then it's time for him to be baptized. He knew it too. Who's going to teach our children that? Parents, it ought to be you. Teach our children to develop a wholehearted love for the Lord with all our heart, soul, and mind, Matthew 22:32-37. You show me a child who loves the Lord with all his heart, mind, soul, and I can usually show you some parents who do too. Because that's how that works. And then they need to learn to choose to follow the Lord over everything else. Luke 14:27, whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. 33, so likewise whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Of course, to accomplish this will take a lot of time and love and devotion and care and prayer and study and tears. But isn't that what parenting's all about? It is. What does the church mean in your child's life? Well, I think you can know the answer to that when I ask you this question. What does the church mean in your life? That's probably what the church is going to mean in your child's life too. Someone said the factory that produces the most important product is the home. And that's absolutely true. The Lord's church is directly influenced by the home. Last 2 or 3 minutes that I have, I want to talk to our young people. Young people, how are you supporting the church? How are you supporting the church? You know, we've got some back at Hanley who just get it. I mean, they get it. They know the value of the church and they know their role in the church. And I mean, they are a blessing and a vitality to our congregation that you can't imagine. They put a lot into the church as teenagers. They are a wonderful group of young people who get it. And I tell them all the time, God bless you. You get it. You see the value, the importance of the Lord's church. And they help us grow and they give us strength and vitality and energy. And I praise them. I'm thankful for them. And I'm thankful for those parents too. But then like most places, we've got some young people who just don't get it. They just don't get it. You know what they're there for? Instead of, what can I do to help support the church? What can I do to help the church? Well, what's the church going to do for me? What's the church going to provide for me? And I have one thing to say to you, if that's your attitude, shame on you. Shame on you. You have no idea what being a disciple of the Lord is all about. Listen, Jesus came not to be ministered to, but to minister, to serve. Matthew 20 and verse 28. What are those kids going to be like when they get older? I'll tell you. If they happen to stay in the church, they're going to expect the church still to take care of all their whims and fancies. And I tell you what, if we don't, you know where they'll be? They'll be down the street where they have a big horse and pony show down the road a little bit. And that's a shame. Young people, why don't you see what you can do to support the church? Why don't you see where you can pitch in? And what you can do to help the church meet the needs of others? Salvation and bringing them to the Lord. And I promise you, if you'll do that, you'll be a blessing to the congregation. And you'll be strength, and you'll be vitality, and you'll be energy to help that church grow and to do what God expects it to do. For the greatest institution on the face of the earth, the Church of Christ.